So this morning we start a brand new series called Talk It Up. This series is going to be a little bit different, a little bit unique. It'll be a little bit more inspiring, more motivational, more uplifting, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. But if you're here this morning and the Water's Edge is sort of unfamiliar to you, if you're a first-time visitor or if you're new here and trying to figure out who we are, today's the perfect Sunday to be here because we're going to talk about the heart of who we are. Have you ever just been so excited about or anxious about or interested in something? Or have you ever just been curious about or deeply impacted by or deeply moved by something that you just had this urge and this desire to talk to someone else about it? Something great has happened to me. Something challenging has happened to me. Something difficult has happened to me. And so I have this desire to talk to someone. I have this desire to talk it up. We do this all the time with all types of different issues in our life. We can't wait to talk about our favorite TV series in the final season. Man, we did that with Game of Thrones a few months ago. All my friends were talking about it, and they couldn't stop talking about it. It was the final season of this amazing show. Or we can't wait to talk about how great the cheeseburgers are at the new restaurant downtown. Or we can't wait to talk about the latest good news that we just got, or the latest bad news, or the latest juicy gossip that we just got. We can't wait to tell people about our new engagement ring, or the new house that we just bought, or the new song that we heard at church that we just can't get out of our head and we love it. We can't wait to talk about that funny video on YouTube that our kid just showed us that we can't stop laughing about. Or sometimes we need to talk about that deep struggle that we have in our soul that we need someone else to help us with. Something encouraging or devastating has happened to me. Something good or difficult has happened to me. Something challenging and life-changing has happened to me. And so I have this desire to talk about it. I have this desire to talk it up. And when we do, we quickly realize something. And this is what it is. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. Notice this morning. Good news and bad news always travels faster than routine news. And this is what I mean by that. You and I love to talk about what's either extremely positive or extremely negative in our life, but we normally just keep the ordinary to ourselves. Or we really love to talk about those things that we really love or those things that we really despise, but we normally keep the day-to-day typical stuff to ourselves. I've never had anyone run up to me so excited, being like, Tony, I need to talk to you. What's going on? Man, I just brushed my teeth. Well, great. But that's typical. That's normal. That's ordinary. Most people don't really want to talk about that. Tony, I need to talk to you. What? Man, I just got back from Walmart. Well, wonderful, man. We all go to Walmart all the time, but that's ordinary. But many times when something in our life is inspiring or positive or many times heartbreaking, this is the type of things that we talk about. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus runs across this funeral procession. There's this mom who was a widow, which meant she had lost her husband years earlier, but now her son died. So she's devastated, she's heartbroken. Not only has she lost her soulmate and the love of her life, her husband, but she also lost her child. And so now they're at this funeral for her boy who had passed away. And Jesus shows up. And in Luke chapter 7, the Bible says that when Jesus saw her, that he had this overwhelming compassion and emotion come over him, that he felt love for her, and he felt empathy, and he felt compassion for her, to the point to where he stops the funeral, and he raises this boy from the dead. After that, notice what happens in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 16. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God. Well, those two things don't seem to go together. Saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today, and the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Now, this word fear right here in the Greek is a loaded word. And like I told the first service, I don't know much Greek. I know a little Greek, and he just owns a restaurant in Alexandria. Amen. But anyway, if you don't know much about the Bible, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the New Testament was written in Greek and Aramaic. And so the original language is Greek and Aramaic. Now, in the Greek, this word fear is a loaded word, which means it has different meanings. And in this verse, it has a very specific meaning. Kind of like the word leaves, like my kids love to go into the backyard and play in the leaves. My daddy leaves for work in the morning. Well, this word fear right here doesn't mean that they were scared of Jesus, because that wouldn't make sense. They wouldn't turn around with joy and worship God and praise God if they were scared to death of Jesus. They would have ran away. But this word fear right here means something else. It means that they were startled. It means that they were astounded and amazed and a little bit dismayed. And so this feeling of being astounded and startled and being dismayed swept the crowd. Why? Because they were at a funeral service. And the little boy who is dead, moments later, after Jesus resurrected him, is playing with his friends and going home with his mom. He was dead moments before. We're about to put him into the ground, into a tomb. We're about to bury him, and now he's laughing and going home with mom. And so this feeling of being startled and a bit dismayed and astounded came over the crowd. And so this is what happened. God did something amazing. They experienced what God did firsthand, and after that, they talked it up and they talked about it. And so today, we begin this brand new series called Talk It Up. And the purpose of this series is to help us understand who we are as a church, but also to look for opportunities to come together as a church to make a difference in our neighborhoods, in our city, and in the lives of hurting people, to show people the love of God and the reality of how a real relationship with Jesus Christ can change their life and make changes in our community. But on a more simple note, the series is just about this. I love my church. And because I love my church so much, I want to talk about what God's doing in my church and what God's doing in my life at my church so other people can experience the same thing too. Amen. I want to talk it up. The other day, I was shopping in Walmart, the little neighborhood Walmart downtown by where we live. Jackie had sent me there to run some errands and to find these little spice packets for this mean spaghetti that she was going to cook that night. Jackie cooks the meanest spaghetti. It'll make your tongue slap your face. Amen. I mean, it is good spaghetti. And her secret is ketchup. Anyway, it's really good. But I had to find these spice packs. And it seems like every time I go grocery shopping, the managers know that I'm about to be there. And before I get there, they just rearrange everything. I know they do that. I have no proof, but I know they're always moving things. Because I go into that same Walmart all the time, and every time I go in there, something has moved. So I had the worst time trying to find these spices, and of course, I'm a man, which means I'm goofy sometimes. So I never stop and ask a worker, where are these spices? Because I'm supposed to figure this out, and I'm supposed to know. So I'm in there for 3 hours looking for one spice pack. Well, when I finally find the aisle, there's one lady on the aisle, and she's talking on the phone, and she seems really excited about what she's talking about with someone else. Well, when she finishes the phone conversation, and it was hard for me not to overhear because she was so excited, she's looking around for someone to talk to. I didn't know who she was. And when she looks at me, she starts to talk to me. And this is what she goes. She goes, I'm so excited. She goes, my daughter who's in the military has been stationed in South Korea for so many years and she's finally coming home. I'm so excited. And I said, man, that's awesome. Your daughter's in the service. Tell her thank you. And we're so glad she's coming home. But she was so moved and she was so excited that she had to talk it up with anyone who is around. When something is meaningful in your life, when something moves you, when something has an impact on your life, then you have this desire to talk about it with other people. And so this series is going to be a little bit different. This short series over the next 3 weeks is going to be about our vision as a church and to intentionally look for opportunities to talk about your church and what God is doing in your life through your church with other people because they may need the same thing. Amen. Now, all throughout the narrative of the New Testament, not only are you and I called to follow Jesus as disciples in faith for the rest of our life and with our entire life, but we're also called to do a few other things. And the first thing is this on the screen. Number one, we're called to imitate Christ. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, I too try to please everyone in everything that I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved or rescued, or many may come to the knowledge of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So right here, Paul says this, I don't live for myself. In fact, he gives us advice that most people would say don't take. He says, everything I do it to try to please other people. Everything I do, I live my life to try to win other people. I live my life for the purpose of other people, not for myself. Why? Because I am called to show Jesus to this world, and the best way I can show Jesus for this world is to love people and to live my life trying to help people and serving people. And as I live my life trying to help people and serving people, the one way I can show God to people and the one way people can see Jesus in me is if I live my life trying to imitate Jesus Christ, which means as Christians, we're trying to be Christ-like, which means if we want this world to see God and see the love of God and see what God is doing in our life, then we have to live like Jesus and love like Jesus. We want to worship like Jesus. We want to pray like Jesus. We want to forgive like Jesus. We want to reach out to our enemies like Jesus. We want to feed like Jesus. We want to have compassion like Jesus. We want to imitate Jesus Christ so the world can see Jesus in us. Amen. Go ahead, give it up. That's pretty good. The second thing we're called to do, and this is really something that you and I should think about, is this. We are called to create a positive picture of Jesus in this world instead of a negative one. Now everyone look right here. This world and even our society right here in this city has a very negative view of God. And they have a very negative view of Jesus. And that's not the TV's fault. And that's not HBO's fault. And that's not Hollywood's fault. And that's not the culture's fault. That's the church's fault. People who say they represent God are the ones that cause most people to run away from God. And so we are called as Jesus followers to create a positive view of Jesus in this world. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, if you're still with me, Sam's still with you. You, who? Us. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for people to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Our life as a disciple of Jesus Christ is like a light in the darkness. And Jesus says that as Christians, you are called for your life to be watched, investigated, and evaluated by the watching world. This is why we try to live for Jesus in front of others. And this is why we do good for hurting people. And this is why we do good for the least of these. And this is why we do good for the hungry. And this is why we do good for people who don't have a place to live. And this is why we do good for the lonely. This is why we do good for the rejected. This is why we do good for the oppressed. Why do we do good? Because the world is watching, but the world is not watching to find out if God is real. They sense that hum in their soul. They know something out there is real. They're watching to see if you and I are real, amen? And when they see that you and I are real, when we live what we say we believe by loving people and doing good for others, then that causes them to be curious about Jesus. And when they get curious about Jesus, why do you love like him? Why do you feed like him? Why do you live for something else besides yourself? Why do you do that? I'm interested. I'm curious. And then once they come here because they're curious, then they feel the love of God and experience the love of God, and it changes their life. And then they come on into the family and they start doing good things too that shows the rest of the world that God is real. And that's how it works. Amen. Go ahead and give it up, because I'm about to pass out. And once the world sees that we are real, then they can stop being cynical and labeling the church as a bunch of hypocrites, because that's what they call us. Why do they call us that? Because we sit in our big buildings and we have Bible study after Bible study after Bible study, but we never put our faith into action and do something. And Jesus says, this is what your life should look like. You're on the stage of this world, being watched by this world, being evaluated by this world. And so let your anger shine out. No, you can't do that. Let your selfishness shine out. You can't do that. Let your greediness shine out. You can't do that. Let your divisiveness shine out. You can't do that. He goes, let your light shine before others so they can see what your good deeds. And when they see those, they glorify God. Amen. Number three, this is what we're called to do, to talk about how important our faith is in Christ to us. Notice what Paul says in Romans chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved or rescued, or they'll become a disciple or have a relationship with Jesus. That's what that means. But how can they call on Jesus to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about Jesus? And how can they hear about him unless someone else tells them? Someone else has to talk it up. And how will anyone go and tell them unless they are being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. You know what? I've never seen the feet of those from our church who go out and feed the homeless. I don't like looking at people's feet, by the way. But you know what I know about their feet? The Bible says they're beautiful because they bring goodness to people. Like when you approach people that are hurting in your life and you sit down with them to tell them that you love them and you start to ease that conversation towards God and God's love, the Bible says that your feet are beautiful because you're bringing peace to people and you're bringing hope to people and you're bringing purpose to people. And so because of that, people need to follow Jesus, but they can't ever follow Jesus unless they believe in Jesus. But they can't believe in Jesus unless they hear about Jesus. But how can anyone hear unless someone else talks about Jesus? And how can anyone talk about Jesus unless we are sent? And so God sends us to people in our life who know that they are missing something, and they know that something's going on in their life that they need help with, and they're struggling, and they're lonely, and they're suffering. And God sends us to those people to talk it up about how Jesus Christ can change our life. Amen. He said, Tony, how do I do that? Let me give you an easy way just to talk about Jesus and talk about what God's doing in your life with other people. Notice this on the screen. Talk with others about how much you enjoy your church and how it helps you connect with God, because that may be something that they're looking for in their life too. So, Tony, how do I talk to people? Just talk about people about your church. You got a cool church. And when you come here, God does cool stuff in your life. And that's worth talking about. So because of all that this morning, let me very quickly remind you of who we are as the Water's Edge. You need to know. Because if you're going to be a part of this church, and if you're going to be plugged into this church, if you're going to serve at this church, you need to know what our vision is. You need to know what our values are. You need to know where we're going and what we're about. And so this is who we are. First of all, this is our vision statement. If you're still with me, say I'm still with you. Let me tell you why this is important and why this needs to be very clear and specific. Most churches that you go to, if you ask them what their vision is, they'll say something like this. Well, you know, we want to read the Bible and, you know, we want to be good to people and we want to have some Sunday school classes and learn some theology and we want to be grounded and love everybody. I'm like, okay, cool. Every church should do that. That's what every church is supposed to do. So that's not very specific. That doesn't really let us know what that church is about and what that church stands for. So this is the heart of who we are. We exist to creatively become a church that people who feel far from God love to come to. Now, here's the deal. Yeah, go ahead, give it up. I think that's a great vision. We could explain it like this. We want to be the type of church that makes it easier for you to invite your friends to come who wouldn't normally go to church. Now, everyone look right here. If all your friends are just church people, our church isn't going to mean much to you. But if you have friends that have been hurt by church, hurt by religious people, or maybe they have some very sincere questions and doubts, maybe someone gave them a book that ripped the Bible to shreds, and they have no idea where to look, no idea where to go, and they have walked away from church, this is where we come in. If you have friends that are going through that, or maybe their marriage has fallen apart, or their finances have fallen apart, and they hadn't been to church in years, this is where we come in. We're the type of church that wants to make it easier for you to get them here. Because once you get them here, and we love the mess out of them, they're probably going to come back, amen? And if they come back, then they can grow and God can change their life. Or basically, we just want to make it easier for you to invite your friends who are hurting and going through a difficult time. We could say it this way. We exist to become a church that reaches people who haven't been to church in a long, long time. And that means this, that we don't just do church for saved people. Yeah, go ahead. Everyone look right here. The Bible, Jesus said that a good shepherd in the church is supposed to be seen like a shepherd of the community. Pastors are seen as shepherds. Churches are seen as shepherds. Jesus says, a good shepherd, a good church, a good pastor, a good Christian will leave 99 sheep that are safe. They're safe. They know God. When they die, they're going to be with God. They're safe. They will leave them to go after just one that has wandered away, just one that is lost. But a lot of times in Christian churches, we make everything about the 99. What does a 99 want to sing? What does a 99 want pastor to talk about? What kind of Bible studies does a 99 want? What kind of vacation Bible school does a 99 want? What kind of Sunday school class does a 99 want? Why don't we sing hymns? Why don't we sing more old songs? Why do we do this? Why do we do that? I've been pastoring for over 20 years, and most of the conversations I hear in church is a bunch of Christians yang-yang about how church doesn't meet their expectations. But a good shepherd won't sit around and pat them on the butt, because if they leave our church and they die, they're still going to be with God. But there's thousands of people in this community who've never heard about God, and so we're going to be a good shepherd and we're going to be preoccupied with them and go after them. Amen. Remember the story of the prodigal son? A father had two sons. The younger son said, give me my money, give me my inheritance. He goes up and spends it all on prostitutes and wild living. He loses everything. He's sleeping with the pigs and eating slop, the Bible says. And then he says, I need to go home. My daddy will never accept me as a son. Maybe he'll accept me as a slave. And so he goes home. And the Bible says, Jesus says that when the father saw his lost son, he ran after him. He said, kill the fattest calf. Let's have a barbecue. Let's have some iced tea. Maybe a couple of adult beverages if you're in Louisiana. Amen. But let's have a party. Why should we have a party? Because my son who was lost is now found. My son who is dead is now alive again. Welcome him home with a celebration. Amen. But most churches aren't filled with people who see the younger brother. Most churches are filled with the older brother. Y'all remember the older brother in the story? When his younger brother came home, what did he do? Hug his brother? No, he got mad. He got ticked off. He went to the backyard, started kicking cans. Dad, I've never left you. I've never disobeyed you, Dad. Every time you give me a command or an assignment, I do it. I didn't waste my inheritance. I didn't live wild living. I'm not the one who messed up. You've never given me a party. And we have people in church doing the same thing.
I don't want to go to church with those people. I don't want to sit next to those people. Why does the pastor reach out to those types of people? I mean, did you see him? They had a mohawk. I mean, listen, I don't want my kids being around that kind of stuff. Listen, I got ran out of one church. You know what? You know why? They said, since Pastor Tony's been here, he's bringing in all the riffraff. Well, thank God that's where the riffraff is supposed to be. Amen? In fact, we started the Water's Edge because they ran me out. that's why we started it. But we're not here to have a bunch of in-house arguments among Christians about what does this verse mean and what does that verse mean, and I want to do church like that, I want to do church like that. We are here to come together as people who already know God and have a vision and reach those people that are hurting who need to hear about God. Amen? That's what a good church does. That's what a good shepherd does. So we do this for hurting people. Now, very quickly, I want to list some of our values. And these are great talking points for you to talk to other people about our church. And these values are absolutely true of our vision. The first one is this on the screen. You're still with me, so I'm still with you. We are a come-as-you-are church. You don't have to clean yourself up first before you come here. You don't have to get your act together before you come here. You don't have to change your life by your own self before you come here. You don't have to follow a bunch of church rules or religious rules before you come here. The Bible says that people came to Jesus just as they are. And once they did, Jesus took care of changing their life. And so as the church of Jesus, we want to be the same way. Amen? You can come just as you are. If you want to wear a three-piece suit, you can wear a three-piece suit. You're probably going to sit next to someone with shorts and flip-flops and a mohawk, but that's cool too if they want to come here. Just as they are. I've had people say, man, I can bring my donut in there. Yes, this is not a sanctuary. I could spit on that wall and it wouldn't make a difference to God. I grew up Southern Baptist that called the church house the house of God. It is not the house of God. It's an auditorium. There's nothing sacred about this building. That's why we have simple buildings. If I take the money that you gave to this church and spend it on these fantastic buildings, how could we feed people? How would he do those types of things? This is just a building. It's an auditorium. And so I grew up in the type of churches where you didn't feel like you could come as you are. You didn't feel like you could wear a hat or wear some shorts. Listen, if you can walk with God in the morning, if you can have your quiet time in your underwear in the morning, then you can wear a hat to church and worship God. Amen? You are the house of God. So because of that, we are a come-as-you-are church. I grew up Southern Baptist, and at the end of every Sunday service, we would sing this one song during invitation, just as I am without one plea. I come to you, God, just as I am without one plea. Jesus says, come to me just as you are. I'll take care of the rest. People ask me all the time, Tony, why don't you get on the people for this and that? Because that's God's job. If I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up. Amen. My job is to create this atmosphere that you can come as you are, and then you can experience God, and he can change you. He can make you the way he wants you. Amen? Number two on the screen is this. We are a practical life application church, which means we're not just going to teach you the Bible. We want to teach you the Bible in such a way that it helps you live the Bible in your daily life during the week. I grew up in the type of churches that just taught me the Bible, but when I was depressed, I didn't know how to apply it. When your relationships are breaking your heart, how do you apply it? When you're depressed, how do you apply it? When you're addicted, how do you apply it? When you feel lonely, how do you apply it? The church was never speaking that language. And tons of people left the church a long time ago because they never figured out how to take the Bible and put it in their everyday language. The priest was preaching in Latin. The pastor was preaching in Greek. The choir was singing songs from the 1700s. Everyone else was speaking in tongues, and no one understands what's going on. Yes, and so we have to take the Bible and put it in everyday language. That's why we'll do a series here about your marriage, about dating, about finances, about toxic emotions, about building resilience in your life and coping skills. The Bible deals with all of these things in a very real life way. In fact, the Old Testament was simply given to us for motivation and inspiration. That is an old contract between God and a nation which we don't belong to. So when you read the Old Testament, you read the Old Testament for motivation and inspiration only. But by the time you get to the New Testament, Jesus gave us one great command that we're to filter our life through. And that one new command was this: love each other just as God has loved you through Jesus, which means we love each other with a sacrificial love. That is the ethic of love that we live. That is the great command that we obey. The rest of the New Testament is how to apply that. Like when Paul comes along and Paul says, let your heart be tender. If your heart's not tender, then you can't love each other the way you're supposed to. When Paul says, don't let bitterness and resentment take root in your heart, don't be jealous. The reason why he says that is because you can't love people if you're jealous correctly. You can't love people if you're bitter correctly. And so he's trying to apply it. So at the water's edge, we try to take the Bible, put it in your language so we can all understand it, so we can help it live the Bible and not just learn more things about the Bible. Amen? The third thing is this on the screen. We try to create an atmosphere that is welcoming and accepting. No matter who you are, we don't care. No matter what you look like, what you dress like, what you've done, what your past is like, you were welcomed and you were accepted here, no matter what. Number four, we feed and we serve over and over and over and over and over again, and we will not stop until we close this place down for good. Why? Because the world is watching. Why? Because the world is evaluating. Why? Because the world is investigating to see not if God is real, but if you are real. Why? Because Jesus says to let your good deeds shine out so people can see them, make them visible. Why? Simply because we love people. This is our heart. This is our vision. We will serve and feed and love over and over again. Number five on the screen, you're still with me, Sam, still with you. We want to make disciples and not just church attenders. We're not here today just to make you feel better and pat you on the hiney because you came to church. We want you to get to this place, a deeply devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And we're all trying to get there together. Now, here's an interesting question. You're still with me, Sam, still with you. Why and how did the early church in the book of Acts reach so many people that were previously unfamiliar with Jesus Christ? So in the book of Acts, when the church got started, these new Christians were so effective at reaching people who didn't know anything about God. How did they do that? This is how, if you're still with me, Sam, still with you. God did something amazing. They experienced it firsthand, and then they talked it up, and they welcomed, and they invited people in their gatherings. So here's my challenge for you this week. This week and next week, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what would be a great series topic that you think would be interesting to some of your friends who don't go to church, that you think would not only be interesting but very helpful. Let's say they're going through something in their life. They hadn't been to church in a long time, or maybe they're skeptical, or maybe they've been hurt by religion. What do you think would be a great series topic that would pique their interest and be very helpful to them in their life, even possibly as a non-Christian and a non-believer? Because the Bible can help anybody if they apply it, amen? And so this is what I want us to do. I want us to take 2 weeks to think about what's the two most popular subjects among our church that we think would get people here who need it and who could help them. And so I'm about to give you a list of six topics to choose from. And when I show this list in just a moment, what I want you to do is take a picture of it or write it down. And if you know today, then you can write down your top two choices. If you don't, we're going to vote again next week. We have blue cards at the back two tables, blue info cards. Write down your top two choices on those blue cards. Drop it in the back metal boxes or on the baskets on stage. And this is what we're going to do. In 3 weeks, we're going to start a brand new series. The first one will be the most popular out of our church. The second will be the second most popular. And this is what we want you to do. August the 25th, we're going to start that series, and we're going to give you little invite cards for the next week for you to invite people. And here's the list. So get out your phones or get out your pen and paper and write this down with me this morning. So the first subject that you could pick from is this. My life is exhausting. How do I simplify it? The Bible has a lot to say about that. Number two, how do I deal with sincere doubts about my faith? People ask me this all the time. The Bible talks about it. We can talk about it too. Number three, how do I deal with loneliness? People approach me about this all the time. The Bible talks about it. We can talk about it too. Let me give you just a moment to finish writing that down or taking a picture of it, and then we'll go to the next one. All right, throw the next three up. Number four, how do I deal with mental illness? A lot of people are talking about that today. We need to deal with it. The Bible talks about it. Number five, how to love, forgive, and set boundaries with people who hurt you. People deal with this all the time. We all deal with this. Sometimes people are like mosquitoes, and they can suck the life out of your soul. How do you deal with those types of people? Number six, how to heal from a relationship heartbreak. So take a few moments, take a picture of that, or write that down. And then pick your top two choices. Write those down on the blue card. Drop them in the box. If you want to think about it for a week, then next week we'll be voting too. And then on August 25th, we'll start that. But as we close this morning, let me leave you with some words, but they're not my words. They're words that people have left on our Water's Edge Facebook gathering, their reviews of their experiences when they visited this place for the first time. So this is what people experience for the first time when they walk into your church because of your love. Notice this on the screen.
My very first service I attended, you could feel God's presence throughout the church. Friendly individuals, no judging, plus the sermon and the band were awesome. Next one. I've been attending Water's Edge since the movie theater days. I recently moved to Florida for a couple of months and miss my church so much. We just moved back home Friday, and today's message was nothing less than amazing. Needless to say, I'm so happy to be back home attending Water's Edge again. Next one. Water's Edge Gathering has changed my world. It's truly a no-judgment zone. I love that. It's a place everyone is welcome and an abundance of love. Man, if we can make people feel that, we're doing our job. We're accomplishing our vision. Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, go ahead. This place brought me back to church again. The reason why we got started was because of that. To bring people back to church again who were not previously going. Next one. My first time, and I really enjoyed it. I haven't been to church in years, but I will definitely be returning. That's why we do this. That's our vision. I haven't been to church in years, but something about that place is going to get me to come back. If you can get your friends here once, we'll love them so much they'll want to come back. Amen? Next one. If you haven't been to church because you're tired of the same old thing and don't feel welcome, please give our church a try. You will feel welcome. This church can feel that empty feeling that you've been feeling, I promise. Next one. The volunteers are amazing and so kind. They give out a bag of food and you get fresh vegetables and fruits. That's talking about the food pantry. Y'all give it up for the food pantry workers. I think that's awesome. Next one. Hate church? Come here. The antidote to everything you fear religion has become. Best music in Lake Charles? Obviously. Cool peeps? That's you. Obviously. Jaw-dropping messages? Obviously. That's me. That will make you actually think, in a mission of feeding Southwest's hungry and homeless. This is what people, yeah, go ahead, give it up. We have a great church. It's not perfect, but we love people. You and I usually only talk about things that we really love or things that we really despise. We just don't talk about the typical ordinary things. But there's nothing typical about the Water's Edge. And there's nothing routine about the Water's Edge. And there's nothing ordinary about the Water's Edge. So the challenge is this: talk it up, and God will move in people's lives. Amen.